Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host. Hey, welcome back. And please don't forget that Speak It On has a Patreon page. Any support you can give to this ministry would be super appreciated. So the question of the day is, have you ever had one of those moments when you've met someone and you just really just want to smack them? I don't mean pound them into the earth, although that may be true as well. I mean, you just want to just take a, you know, pound, you know, the proverbial pound of flesh out of that person because they're being such a blooming jerk. Well, what do you do? What do you do? How do you approach that? Now, a lot of people believe and really hold to the thought process that Jesus was a pacifist, and they really, really hold that up there. I think Jesus is a lot more balanced than that. And here's the reason why I'm saying this. Is those same people really don't, you know, they downplay the table flipping and the beating that he gave the money changers in the temple when they were basically turning the temple grounds into a bookie, into a gambling session or something of that nature. So, was Jesus a pacifist? No, I don't believe he was. I think, though, this, he engaged every opposition that he needed to engage without upsetting his target or his goal. And his goal was literally the salvation of everyone on earth, the planet, and then some. Let's look at Apostle Paul for a second. I know people are like, oh gosh, not Paul again. But yeah, because a lot of people, again, take what Paul says in some places and overemphasize or put a huge microscope on stuff, and then they don't balance it with other things. For example, with the Apostle Paul, you always have to remember, number one, he's Jewish. He's Jewish from the start, finish, and after. And he's thinking like a Jew. Now, was he Greek trained? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But he was Jewish. And a Pharisee. He was a Jew of Jews. So, you have to remember that. And you have to understand that Paul had a lot of layers to him. And when he was addressing an issue, you really have to peel that onion back a lot to get to what he's kind of getting at. Even Peter said, hey, you know, some of the stuff Paul says is kind of hard to understand, and people like mess it up to their own destruction. But anyway, Romans was written to probably a relatively small group, believe it or not, in spite of the fact that later, you know, we turn it into the Roman Catholic Church later, but in Paul's day, it was probably just a handful of people. But the complication we had is that those people really, really were super, super proud of their Gentile background, so to speak, and we're kind of looking down on the Jewish part of things. And Paul was just trying to say, whoa, wait a minute. Time out. Time out. Let's balance things. But he was addressing some persecution that was going on. Now, looking at Romans 12, okay? Romans chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 14. And go to 21. And it works this way. So, Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, now, so, in this scenario that Paul's laying out, most people are like, can't do it. That is just way too straight-laced, way too beyond, and hey, I've got faults of my own, and you know, if somebody, you know, does this and so, I'm letting the air out of their tires. Let me wrap this in another way, all right, which may help with your hermeneutics, in other words, your interpretation of this section. And let me say that by saying this. I've been watching, you know, I don't watch YouTube a lot, but I've been watching some things where there are First Amendment auditors, all right? Now, the first thing you're probably going to say, are you running out and doing that stuff? No, I'm not. But believe me, I'm a strong believer in the First Amendment. But here's the thing. I notice that the particular program that I watch that I will not name says this. When you have a bad encounter, if, and it may be a situation, and this might be with law enforcement, or it could be with another person, but here's the thing. If they're screaming and yelling and cussing and throwing junk and being pretty much jerk, it doesn't help your case in court if you are seen doing the same thing. And sometimes, and these are not always super common events, but there are unfortunately officers, like any other profession, that are not as good as they ought to be doing their job. And again, lots of professions like that. So let's don't broad brush the whole cow because of one spot. But here's the thing. They can be kind of jerky, all right? Well, if you get screaming and yelling and irate and all kinds of six miles of crazy, and that's caught on video, well, when that gets played in court, it looks blooming bad. Then the judge or jury or whoever is supposed to be giving a judgment on that situation sees you being a jerk and the other person's a jerk. Well, then you have a jerk. You know, then it's basically a fight up between, the judge has to decide, okay, who's the jerkiest? Which one is in the right the most? Or which one is least bad? Okay? Well, that kind of thing really stinks. Now, let me share with you something that happened to me. And it went like this. I was traveling in South Texas, and there was a town on the border, fairly large town, and I had taken a route through the country, and my road met a major intersection, and when I stopped, I didn't stop on the line. There's a white line, okay, and you're supposed to stop behind the line when there's a stop sign. All right. Well, I didn't. My tires were over the line. Well, then I make my turn to go into the town, and lo and behold, there was a trooper who observed that I didn't stop behind the line. Well, he stopped me, which he could do because you're supposed to stop behind the line, of course. And he was a real jerk. He had a really bad attitude, and by bad, I mean he was super aggressive, very accusatory. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why did you stop behind the line? You know what the lines are there for, and all these kinds of things. And he was being a pretty big jerk. Now, here's the thing. If I was a jerk back, that doesn't make me right. Even though, of course, I had broken a ordinance, if I was a jerk back to him, that was, and then I was, let's say, wanting to go to court to fight it, okay? If the judge saw me being a jerk, that wouldn't help. So now, let's go back to Romans, where Paul's trying to get at something. I mean, so, in verse 16 of chapter 12, he said, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty. In other words, don't be prideful and full of yourself, but associate with the lowly, okay, which means, in other words, don't avoid people who need help. And never be wise in your own sight. So if you think you're smart, you might be. If you think you're smart, you're never always quite as smart as we think, we think we are. But verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Now, here's the kicker. If possible. And then he adds, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. So here's what I'm going to say. If someone comes after you and your family, there is such a thing as self-defense. And that also means if somebody is slandering you, if somebody is trying to destroy you in social media, all right, well, sometimes people put you in positions that absolutely demand you take action against them. For this reason also, and it's not written here, if you just say back and say, oh, well, I'm just supposed to let people run me over, well, that enables them, basically, and encourages them to do it to more people. So when someone comes after you, you have to ask yourself, am I in a self-defense situation? I mean, if your reputation is going to get you fired, that's self-defense. If they're going after you, and it's going to end your job, end your ability to take care of your family, to take care of yourself, or if they're coming after you physically, you don't have a choice at that point. It's self-defense. Now, here is what verse 19 is trying to get at. Never avenge yourself. In other words, so-and-so hurt me, so man, I'm going to go and just decimate their little behinds. I'm going to ruin their lives. That's what I'm going to do. Well, no. Now, God's not signing off on any of that jazz. Instead, what God says is this: you let Him decide, because I most definitely guarantee you that God can do more to any individual or organization than you ever dreamed of. He can utterly dismantle it and make their lives a living hell if they deserve it. But the thing is, you have to let God be the judge. In fact, Paul's adding to the contrary. Look, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, because you'll heap burning coals on their head. Well, part of that has to do with, in the eyes of God, you are going the next mile to be His people. Do not do this payback. And I think verse 21 says it all. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In fact, verse 17 says, don't repay no one evil for evil. Because look, hey, somebody jacked my car up, so I'm just going to burn their car up. No. Look. Because it escalates. Peace officers are supposed to know how to de-escalate a situation. They're supposed to be trained to do that. To be calm, professional, and talk, and help make a bad situation less bad. Sometimes you can't, but they're trained to do that. If you're a peacemaker, you need to de-escalate the situation, not ramp it up. There are actually jokes that are told about certain Christian churches and their business meetings. One of the old ones used to be, do you know why certain churches' carpet's red? Well, it's so that they don't have to change the carpet after the business meeting because of the blood. Well, so, again, what are we saying? We're saying this. Evil for evil, that ain't gonna work. That's not going to sign off. Anytime you are seen as calm, cool, collected, and understanding in a situation, let the other person go nuts. Now, don't let them injure you, okay? But let the other people, the other person, be seen as the wacko in front of the judge and in front of God. Not you. God's people are supposed to be calm and in control. Why? Because God is the God of all things. He has given us a spirit of self-control, it says. Sound mind, not chaos. But also, I want to emphasize that if it is not possible to live peacefully with someone, because it says, so far as it depends on you, look, if they're going beyond the means to destroy you, then it's self-defense. And you have to protect you and your family, protect your reputation by saying, no, that's not what happened. Unfortunately, a lot of times in today's world, that does include legal work. And believe me, lawyers laugh at all the lawyer jokes. You know why they do? Because they know. They know that when someone needs one, they want one that's really, really, really vicious and good at their job. And so, you can tell them all the lawyer jokes you want. They don't care. But protect yourself, your family, if necessary. But the main thing is don't do vengeance. You don't go after them. You defend yourself if somebody comes after you, and it's self-defense. And that means your reputation for your job and so forth. And obviously that would extend to extreme circumstances if somebody's breaking in your house to hurt you. So anyway. So let's get back to this idea. Oh no, Christians are pacifists. They just need to Okay, well, no. I'd like to say that Christians are godly, and godly means reasonable. But when you're dealing with unreasonable, and you're trying to reason with unreasonable, then it doesn't depend on you anymore. So, with that thought in mind, I want to re-emphasize what Paul says, live peaceably with all as far as it's possible. Amen on that? So, with that in mind, I want you to keep on speaking it on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Speak It On. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the word in boldness and truth. And may God bless all of your efforts.